All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at LFA 155, which transpires on March 24th. A very compelling lightweight matchup as Yemi Odewale and Adam Asenza get out there to test skills, and happy to have Adam on the show as always. How's your day going there, man?
It's going great. How's yours?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. Just, you know, enjoying my day and just, you know, getting to do MMA-related stuff, so it's always a, you know, good time for me, but I imagine this one is a good one for you, just getting ready to, you know, kind of return, especially after a pair of, you know, bouts fell out and obviously factors beyond your control there. But is that kind of a sentiment you're feeling, like a certain level of relief, just knowing you have a fight locked in and getting back to it and all?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, you know, sometimes these things happen and, you know, you don't get to actually compete no matter, you know, how hard the work you put in. So it's just nice to be back on fight week.
And I guess just like, not, I mean, not to dwell on it too much, obviously, but the last one struck me as kind of curious just because you were looking to have, you know, a BTC fight. But I was seeing per that video you posted on Instagram that the Ontario Athletic Commission doesn't allow fighters to compete with metal plates in their extremities. And apparently that was kind of disclosed, like in super close proximity to the fight. Was that kind of frustrating a little bit? I mean, based on what you're saying, it seems like you're kind of like, oh, well, you know, beyond my control, just onward and upward, whatever's next. But like, what were your thoughts on all of that? Because I guess kind of looking at that, you would think that that would have been, I guess, sorted out a while before and wouldn't have been a thing that close to the fight. Like, what did you think about all that?
Yeah, no, it was definitely a surprise to me. I haven't heard of it before, but I guess there's a difference between having a, you know, a metal rod repaired on your shin and opposed to a metal plate. So a metal plate, I guess, is a bigger surface area, is a lot more dense. I didn't know the difference, but apparently in Ontario and apparently the states as well, it's illegal to fight with a metal plate across your shin. You know, the Ontario Athletic Commission did the best they could. They reached out to King of the Cage, they reached out to a bunch of other promotions and said, have you ever had anything like this before? But none of them have. And you know, just from what I've been told, this guy has competed in the states and stuff like that in the past with this metal plate. So I don't know if they just caught it. I don't know what it was, but regardless, it's in the past now. I was ready then, I'm ready now, and, you know, on to the next.
Yeah, for sure. And what was the excitement level just getting to, you know, get back to competing under the LFA banner? Like, obviously you're a, you know, stalwart with BTC, so you like competing for those guys. But like, what was the, I guess, temperament when the LFA bout offer kind of came your way? It seems like you enjoy competing with those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were trying to get me something before Christmas last year, and that just didn't work out. And, you know, this opportunity came up, and I just jumped to it.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, definitely a great fight here. And, I mean, not overlooking it at all, but I'm just kind of curious because, like, one of our past talks, I was referencing your, you know, title accolades with BTC and B2 Fighting Series, and you were like, oh, yeah, I'm just looking to really, like, fight as much as possible, and my goal is to get to the UFC. And just with reports out there saying UFC might make a foray into Western Canada or even possibly Toronto this summer, like, what were your thoughts on all of that? Like, again, in the context of not overlooking this fight, but I imagine that would get you excited, I would think.
Yeah, you know, it's in my ear, obviously it's exciting, but like I said, like, when I'm this close to a fight, I don't care about anything else.
Yeah, for sure. I guess, like, a fun thing to look at if you get the, you know, desired outcome in this one and everything. But I love what you're doing with some of your other endeavors too. Like, I mean, like I was saying before the interview, it seems like you've got like a few different things you have your hands in. Like, I saw you had a post a few weeks ago with, you know, Spencer Wilcox and talking about the pleasure of, you know, getting to work with him and his professional boxing journey through the Maverick Protein, you know, umbrella and just that outlet there. Can you talk about just how that's been, like, not even just with Spencer Wilcox, but just, you know, helping people in combat sports on like the protein end of things and all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, my other, I guess, job and background is I'm a strength conditioning specialist and a therapist. So I train a lot of high-end fighters, you know, in regards to their strength conditioning. And, you know, just the Wilcox brothers in general, they're some of the highest-ranked boxers in Canada. And, you know, Spencer is quickly following in their footsteps, you know, as to be one of the up-and-coming top prospects in his weight division. And, you know, one of the big things that fighters deal with that, most people are either aware or not aware of is, you know, they're always sore. You know, I mean, on top of lifting weights, on top of doing the fight training, you know, recovery is a big issue, especially with fighters, right? So, you know, I work with some, you know, smart guys, and we had developed a CBD transfused protein powder, and that's the Maverick protein. And now most people have probably tried CBD before, but unless they're taking a proper dosage, it's not really noticeable in regards to, you know, just the effects of it about, you know, with recovery and decreasing inflammation and anxiety and a bunch of other issues that CBD is actually good, you know, used for. So we put the proper dosage in the Maverick protein, and, you know, I've been supplying it with my fighters that I train, and they're seeing phenomenal results, and they're great advocates, you know, help me push my brand. So what you saw, I guess, Spencer had just was thanking me for obviously the training, and obviously thanking me for sponsoring him for his fight with the Maverick protein, because he had, you know, he felt like he recovered, you know, faster than any of his other camps, and he felt a lot better through his camp, you know, while he was taking the product.
Yeah, and from what I can tell, like, it seems like you're talking about things like, you know, proper CBD dosage and maybe some other previous products based on you using it for your own recuperation. Maybe there's, like, negligible amounts as far as, like, helping out with the inflammation and stuff like that. So was that kind of the case, like, your own anecdotal experiences with CBD? It's like, okay, here's, like, the, you know, fully optimized amount of CBD that would help an athlete. Like, did you use your, I guess, anecdotal experience as a fighter to, you know, put that into the product to help these other fighters? It kind of seems like it.
Yeah, well, it simply comes down to the fact that, you know, I've been given free CBD from companies since, you know, CBD was a thing, right? And, you know, for me, I've taken it and I never really noticed a difference. And then one of my, you know, performance doctors is like, oh, well, you need to dose, you know, minimum 20 drops, 20 to 40 drops, you know, before bed is your best bet in regards to recovery, especially for like the amount that you train and so on and so forth. And, you know, I tried it. I was like, oh, okay, 20 to 40 drops, I'll give it a try. And it was like a night and day difference. And then I kept doing it every night for that the rest of that week. And it's like I was on one of my heaviest training, you know, my heaviest training, you know, points in my camp. And I felt fully recovered, fully fresh from it. And it's like, I wonder how many, I thought to myself, and I've asked other people, you know, when you've tried CBD, how much do you take? You know, they're like, oh, 5-10 drops, you know, and that was pretty much the consensus across the board, like actual loading or dosage, a proper dosage for athletes in regards to what they're trying to achieve, it's not really out there. I mean, I'm sure you can find it on the internet, but I mean, nobody seems to know about it that I know that's an athlete and that's tried to use a CBD product. So we figured blend the protein recovery with the CBD because nobody's done it before. It's not out there. And, you know, we'll put the proper dosage in there and these guys can get the full benefit. And like I said, I've been testing it on high-end athletes, you know, across Canada or guys that I deal with and I train with. And, you know, the consensus is that it makes a massive difference.
Yeah, for sure. It just seems like you put a lot into it and clearly is going well. So yeah, love to see it for sure. I even got a little bit of that in my cupboard here from the, you know, BTC awards show there. So definitely a, you know, quality product for sure. But just curious about this next fight here, just because, I mean, bit of a situation where he's, you know, faced somebody who is an Ontario fighter previously, and there's such a great cross-training culture throughout, you know, Southern Ontario and everything. I'm curious if you've gotten to work with Zach Powell or get any insights from him at all ahead of this Odawalli fight, being that they fought, you know, a couple years ago sort of thing.
So the thing is with Yemi called me out after I beat Sean Fallon. It was a two-day event, so we were supposed to fight for the Strikecard title. And then we ended up, the week of the fight, it got moved from Indiana to Kentucky and moved from, I guess, Strikecard or whatever the other promotion was called to B2. And that was because it was, like, due to COVID restrictions at the time. So I fought Sean Fallon the night before. And the next day, Yemi fought. He got a win. And then after he came up to me, he's like, oh, he's just like, you know, he's talking shit, like, you know, me and you next, this and that. And I'm like, let's do it, man. Like, no problem. And, I guess, like, he had his next five fights up at 170. So I know Zach had fought him. but I don't think he had much of an MMA base at that time when he had fought him, so it was a pretty easy win, you know, taking him down and beating him up there and stuff. And I've obviously trained with Zach the last few years. I haven't trained with him recently, but, you know, I'm definitely aware of it, but, you know, I prepare for everything, right? So, you know, I've seen Yemi, you know, he can strike, and I've also seen him wrestle. He can wrestle. So, you know, I'm just preparing for every possible option. I'm not too worried about what he's going to do. My focus is what I'm going to do on fight night.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess from what you can tell, though, maybe he's, like, shored up a certain level of skill set since then, more so in, like, the grappling specific parts of the game, whereby maybe even looking at that Powell fight isn't really going to, like, provide much for your game plan. Like, do you think he has improved?
Powell, he was a Thai fighter, and now I feel like he's an MMA fighter, a mixed martial artist.
Yeah, for sure. It does seem like he's improved in those regards, and he did have a, you know, bit of a streak he was on after that Powell fight, for sure. And yeah, so indicating that learning from the mistakes and, you know, everything like that. But just kind of curious with this one, because I guess I didn't necessarily know that backstory you touched on there, where it seems like there's, I mean, maybe you don't want to call it bad blood necessarily, but a certain sense of, like, banter being, you know, at play and a bit of trash talk and whatnot. Does that kind of embolden anything extra in the performance, or is it kind of inconsequential? Like, does it make it fun a little bit, or is it just whatever kind of thing?
Yeah, it is what it is, man. At the end of the day, like, somebody calls me out, I'll fight them. It's just a matter of, you know, like, they gave me his name and I was like, hell yeah, I was all in. I signed a contract, and then we heard crickets from his side. So, you know, I shot him a message and I was like, are we fighting or what's going on? And then, you know, they sent the contract back signed. So now we're going to do it, right? So it is what it is. You know, at the end of the day, it's fighting. So it doesn't matter what you say, it matters what you do. So I'm looking forward to fighting and I'm excited. And there's really no bad blood or anything. Like, I mean, not in my opinion. So it is what it is.
Yeah, I guess I was, like, wondering, like, I mean, I guess you ultimately wouldn't know, but just, like, making an inference, I suppose. Like, did you think the call-out was, I guess, mindful of the fact that he realizes you're, like, a really, you know, tough fighter, and if he got the ideal outcome for him over you, it would kind of bolster his resume? Or did it maybe seem like a personal kind of call-out? Because it maybe seems like, for me, the former as compared to the latter, I guess.
I think I beat, like, his champion, which was Sean Fallon, at the Strikeard. And that's where he fought Powell, right? So our fight was supposed to be on that show, and it got moved due to COVID restrictions in Indiana to B2 in Kentucky. So then he fought there the next night because it was a two-day show. And I think he saw that I beat Powell, and I think he wanted a piece of me. So now he's going to get it.
Yeah, and I love talking to you about fighting.
So he saw that I beat Sean Fallon, not Powell. He saw that I beat Sean Fallon. And Sean Fallon was their champion, right? So the promotion that he originally fought for. And so, yeah, I think he wanted a piece of me in that regard. So now we're going to do it.
Yeah, very interesting, you know, build up to the fight and everything like that. And I love talking to you about fighting because it's very clear that it's, like, a big passion of yours and something that you look at through the lens of, like, artistic expression, as well as it being, like, a very, you know, physical kind of thing. And you very much have this, like, locked in hyper focus on the competition. Like, how much do you, I guess, appreciate having that, you know, canvas to paint, for lack of a better way to phrase it? Like, what's the mindset and overall set of feelings as you're, like, kind of getting into the cage and just really showcasing the skills and showing your passion and the arts part of mixed martial arts and all?
So you just had a piece there where you kind of drifted away from the phone, so I couldn't hear. Could you cut out a little bit? Can you say that again, that end part?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was just saying, like, how much do you, I guess, appreciate that, like, proverbial canvas to paint? Like, what's, I guess, the general mindset and set of feelings as you're out there showcasing your skills?
The mindset is paint a masterpiece, and that's what I do every time.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it a lot before. I mean, a very, you know, crowd-pleasing style and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely, you know, love you bringing that to the table each time out, for sure. But I mean, it's always great getting to talk to you ahead of these different fights, man. I guess, you know, just in being mindful of your time, a couple more questions. Like, one I certainly wanted to touch on, just in speaking about some of your, you know, outside endeavors and some of the, you know, great altruistic things you also do. I thought it was cool that you, you know, visited Hannah and the team at, you know, Campfire. And oh, sorry, yeah, I'm not sure what's happening with that. I guess I was just referencing, though, like the, you know, knockout cancer visit with campfire and whatnot.
Yeah, no, we, so Knockout Cancer, obviously, you know, it's the fundraiser to raise money for cancer and just raise cancer awareness. But we also are partnering with, you know, other charities as well. You know, so Campfire is something that essentially they raise money and do funding for kids with cancer. So we actually worked with them, and we were able to donate like 100 Playmobil toys, and you know, we were able to send them all to so Campfire is like a camp for kids with cancer. So for example, if you're you know, one of their kids had cancer and he had a port in his chest and he could never go swimming, but at, you know, at Campfire they have, you know, nurses, doctors on staff, so they're able to, you know, these kids are able to be kids again, have a good time. And they also, if they need anything medically, it's right there for them. So, you know, we thought it was important to work with them and, you know, make a huge benefit if we could. So that's what we were doing with Campfire.
That's incredible, man. I mean, how much do you get out of that? I would presume that would be, you know, very rewarding, just a very altruistic kind of effort. So, yeah, I mean, great that you're doing that. I would think you'd get a lot out of that.
Oh, absolutely. It's words can't describe.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. Just such an excellent way to use your platform and your time and efforts. But in the sense of, you know, talking about your time and how busy you generally are, I figured I'd put the ball in your court and maybe see if there's any, like, parting final thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, though, Adam.
Just, you know, parting thought is, you know, tune in next Friday, March 24th, to UFC Fight Pass. Watch my fight on LFA. It's going to be exciting as hell, as usual. And, you know, check out my links on my page. We have the personal training app that you can download. And then also check out our link on AA Knockout Cancer. And if you can donate, it would be amazing because you'd be helping a lot of people.
Yeah, a great parting thought for sure. And again, to reiterate, thanks for coming on the show. Always great getting to get your insights ahead of these different fights. And looking forward to checking it out. But until then, you have a good rest of your day, Adam.
Thanks, brother. Thanks for having me on.